Thanks, Alan. Good morning to everybody. It is great to see everybody today. And in spite of the rain, we think sometimes rain, you know, we don't want to see the rain, but we need the rain. And so it's a blessing from God. Really good to have you with us. If you're traveling, we're thankful that you're here. And we hope that everything goes well on the rest of your trip. When you're back in this area, just come back and see us again. Make this your home away from home. If you're from the area, we're so thankful that you're here, and we encourage you to come back and be with us every time you can. And we simply, at Sunny Slope, our motto is we just want to be the church we all read about in the Bible. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. So if you have any questions about anything you see us do or hear us teach, please ask us. Because again, we simply want to fit that mold and be that church that God wants us to be. We're going to take another break. We have, since I began this series on basic Bible teachings, basic doctrines of Christianity that we all ought to know, simple, understandable points of teaching that have to do with Christianity, our God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and so on. We took a couple breaks already for different reasons along the way, and last week I focused on motherhood and took a break from that series. I'm going to do that again today, talk about something else that kind of caught my attention. I got to thinking about it, and I thought, I want to write a sermon on that, and then we'll get back into our series most likely next Sunday. So I want to ask about eternity. What about eternity? Well, we make all kinds of plans in life, all kinds of plans. We talk about, you know, want to be ready, and we do this planning on an ongoing basis. We start planning for special days like birthdays and holidays and Mother's Day and Father's Day and graduations and weddings and anniversaries, and the list goes on and on, doesn't it? And so we think about that, and then we also make plans for trips and vacations and camping and ball games and golf and movies and dinners with certain individuals, and again, that list goes on and on, doesn't it? We want to also take measures to be ready for the unforeseen. And so we start saving up for retirement. We start saving up for our older years in life. And so we take out savings and investment plans. We again take retirement, you know, plans. We take out accident insurance and medical insurance and life insurance, and we even take out funeral insurance, don't we? A lot of people. And again, that list could go on, because we want to plan. We want to be ready for the unforeseen. We know some things are probably going to come along somewhere down the road, and we want to be ready for them. We don't want to be caught unprepared. Well, think about what happened just a few weeks ago in this area, not right here in this specific area, but around the general area of Omaha and a little extended from that by maybe 20 or 30 or even 50 miles perhaps, going all the way to Harlan, Iowa, maybe a little bit beyond that. And think about those tornadoes that came by and just wreaked havoc on so many people. My wife and I drove through the Elkhorn area that got hit during that particular time, and just drove through that a couple of days or so ago, and I was just awed. I'd seen destruction before from natural disasters, but I saw houses. One case, it was just gone, and then in a number of cases, it was like half a house left there, and everything from, you know, about halfway up and then all the way to the roof, it was all gone. I just thought, wow, this looks like a bomb run here in a war scene that you would see on TV sometime. Well, those things happen. And so, prayerfully and hopefully, those people were ready for that with at least insurance policies that will help them recover from that disaster. But this is what I want us to think about. Now, what about eternity? What about eternity? You know, are you planning? Are you getting ready for eternity? Most people probably don't think about that, eternity. Now, they might say, well, I'm getting ready for the eventual passing from this physical life. But let me tell you now, eternity is just on the other side of physical death. Are you planning for, are you getting ready for eternity? Every one of us should, because it's coming for every single one of us. Every single one of us. The Hebrews writer wrote in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. Now, what does that refer to? The judgment. After death, physical death, then the judgment. That's eternity. That's eternity. We don't just cease to exist when we die physically. Remember Genesis 1 and verse 26, God said, and on that sixth day of his creation, when he was bringing the creation account to a close, and what I like to think of as he was coming to the crown of his creation, because he was creating mankind now, and he created man unique from everything else, in that he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And then he gave him dominion, mankind dominion over everything else that God had created upon this earth. Now, in God's image indicates that he created us with a spiritual being within us, or a spiritual essence, if you want to think of it that way. A soul. He created us with a soul. And so in that way, we're unique from everything else that God created. And in that way, God created us in his image. Because God is spirit, but we have that spirit, that spiritual essence within us, a soul. So eternity is coming. Physical death, that just ends this physical life, but the soul goes on into eternity. When we read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, and I appreciate Alan reading that a few moments ago by way of introduction to the lesson, notice what the wise man Solomon wrote. Speaking of God, he has made everything beautiful in its time. And he has put, this is something that really ought to grab us. He has put eternity in their hearts. Now, he's talking about in our hearts, mankind, because he created us with a soul. So eternity is beyond this physical life for every single one of us. He has put eternity in their hearts. Why do you think people, humanity in general, now I know there are a lot of people out there who say, nah, I don't believe any of that stuff. They're just outright atheists. And some are skeptics and some are agnostics, but they're all about the same. But the vast majority of people have some kind of concept of eternity. The wise man Solomon says, God has put eternity in our hearts. In our hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. Eternity is a real concept, a real principle in our hearts, in our minds. So it's no wonder when we read about that wealthy young man who comes to Jesus in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, and he addresses Jesus and says, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Eternal life. As we were studying in the auditorium class this morning, and Mark was bringing out, he was going through text after text through the four gospel accounts about the crucifixion of Christ, and portraying Jesus hanging on that cross, and then the two criminals, one on either side of him, being crucified alongside of him. And then one of them, ultimately, before Jesus dies on that cross, and before those two criminals die on the cross, he actually, in essence, confessed Christ by saying, Lord, when you remember me when you come in glory. When you go into your kingdom, remember me. And so, in essence, now he might have not have said all the words that we would have liked for him to say, but in essence, he was acknowledging some degree of faith, at least, in Jesus as the Savior. Now, why? He's dying on that cross, that criminal. But God has put eternity in our hearts. God has envisioned us from eternity, and he awaits us in eternity. Isaiah 57 and verse 15, thus says the high and the lofty one who inhabits eternity. God lives in eternity. He is absolutely eternal, without beginning, without end, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Now, notice this, with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He's waiting for those of us, the contrite ones, the humble ones. That's a reference, I believe, we're to understand, to us. He's waiting for us to join him in eternity if we will live faithful to him in this physical life. And then in Acts 15 and verse 8, known to God, speaking of us, speaking of humanity, we're known to God from eternity are all his works, all that God has created, including us. When we look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, it's interesting. And the short letter of Ephesians talks about God's eternal plan for us and his plan from eternity for us. Two or three different times in that short letter. So in chapter 1, verse 4, Paul wrote, just as he chose, that is God, chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, before he ever created us, in other words, God already had us in his mind and in his plan. And his plan was that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God wanted us, all of humanity, to be with him for all of eternity. You might say, how do you know that? What do you mean? Remember when he put the first man and woman in the garden, Genesis chapter 2, and within that garden was a tree that was called the tree of life. And as long as humanity would continue to eat the fruit of that tree, they would live forever, sinless. But of course, there was another tree, and that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God created us with the ability to make the choices ourselves. But he warned, if you eat of that particular tree, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, you're going to die. And they did. They disobeyed God. They became sinful, and God removed them from access to the tree of life. But the tree of life is now in heaven waiting for us. And that is a place of eternal life for us if we will live our lives faithfully and obediently before God right now. Ephesians chapter 3, we move on to chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. And notice again, Paul writes, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, notice this, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, before God ever created the world, ever created mankind, he already had the plan for us in mind. He already knew he was going to send the Savior into the world to redeem us from the guilt of our sins. Now, the choice as to whether to accept the Savior would be up to us, but that was already in God's plan. So before he ever created us, before time as we understand it began, God already had a plan for us. Already had a plan. Eternity again. And he wants us to be with him in all of eternity. Jesus came into this world as our Savior that we might have eternal life through him. Not eternal life in this world, but eternal life with him in eternity. After this world is done, or after we have breathed our last in this world, in this physical life. Matthew chapter 19, and we begin with verse 29. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake, Jesus said, shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. Eternal life. How many self-help manuals are there out there? How many infomercials, how many commercials do we see between segments of some TV program we're watching or a movie that we're watching on TV, and talking about how to extend our lifespan, how to be healthier, how to be rejuvenated physically and mentally and emotionally. Oh, that's great. Nothing wrong with that. But even if we were able to tap into those resources to the fullest extent, it's still going to be short-lived. We're still going to die physically. Still going to die physically. But see, what Jesus came to offer us, to give us the opportunity to be able to take hold of and grasp, and that's eternal life. We go to chapter 25 in Matthew's account, verse 46. Jesus said, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Eternal life. Eternity is just down the road from us, just on the other side of our last breath of physical life. We need to understand that. And so just as we want to get ready for retirement, just as we want to get ready for our elderly years, just as we want to get ready for whatever major goal we have in our minds farther down the road in our lives, we need to get ready for eternity. Because again, it's coming for every one of us. John 3 and verse 15, whoever believes in him, that is, believes in Christ, as God's Son and our Lord and Savior, should not perish but have eternal life. Chapter 6, verse 68, but Simon Peter answered and said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Now, Jesus had just taught a tough lesson for a whole lot of people who had come to him because, well, some of them believed in him deeply, but some of them, they were just impressed because he had fed them miraculously the day before. And so they followed him across that particular body of water, and it sounds like they want breakfast now. And so he talked to them about how, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have any life in you. No eternal life. They had a tough time with that because they were thinking from a physical perspective and he was talking on a spiritual level. And so many of them left him. But then he turns to the apostles and he says, are you going to leave me too? You who have been with me this time, closest to me, whom I've been working with and teaching you personally. And so Peter speaks up and he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life is through and only through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Romans 5 and verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life. To eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You want to live forever? You got to come to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in faithfulness, and that includes obedience to his teachings, and that would begin with the gospel message of forgiveness and salvation in Christ. Repenting of our sins, as Jesus said we must do in Luke chapter 13 and verses 3 and 5. Confessing our faith in him openly as God's Son and our Lord and Savior, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And surrendering to him in baptism, as he told the apostles to teach the gospel message to all creation. And that's for us as well, in all generations until he comes again, and he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, speaking of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, having been perfected, he became the author or source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now, understand that eternal salvation is the equivalent of eternal life, because if salvation was only for this physical presence in which we live right now, what would that accomplish for us? When we die physically, again, we'd just be, as I've said many times, we'd be like old Rover, just dead all over. And there would be nothing beyond that. But he became the source of eternal salvation. life that goes on with him and with the Father in heaven forever and ever. Now, there's another side of eternity that we do not want to become our reality. The opposite reality of eternal life is eternal condemnation. And a lot of people don't like to hear the word, but we're talking about eternal condemnation in hell. That's the other reality of eternity for those who are not ready when the Lord comes again or when they breathe their last. Mark 3 and verse 29, he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, and this is just one application, never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation, and that's forever and ever. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul, going back to verse 7 in that particular text, talks about the day when the Lord will come again in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and upon those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 9, he says, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from, or cut off from, I think we're to understand, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Not ceasing to exist, just in a place of horrible, horrible condemnation and horrible ongoing punishment. When we look at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, Jesus again says, and he brings out both ends of the reality of eternity. First, he says, these will go away, the faithful, in other words, will go away into everlasting, the unfaithful, into everlasting punishment, but then the faithful, the righteous, into eternal life. Now, the word, obviously, words everlasting and eternal are simply interchangeable. They have the same meaning. And so Jesus is saying, one reality of eternity is everlasting punishment for those who are unfaithful, disobedient. Do not live their lives for Christ. That's on an ongoing daily basis, eternal or everlasting punishment. But the righteous, the faithful, the obedient, the dedicated, the committed, eternal life. Both ends of the spectrum when we're thinking about and studying about eternity. When we turn to Mark chapter 9, we look at verses 44, 46, 48, they say the same thing. Those three verses. Now, I wonder why Jesus decided to say the same thing in reference to eternal condemnation in hell three times in a row. Again, verse 44, verse 46, verse 48. You're talking only there about six verses or five verses, and he repeats himself over and over. What does he say there? Talking about a place of eternal condemnation where the unrighteous, the disobedient will be, a place where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. In other words, just as heaven is a place of ongoing eternal life and bliss and blessings and joy and peace, hell is exactly the opposite. Where their worm does not die, where the fire is not quenched. No place we should want to be spending eternity. The revelation in John, as he portrays it this way, Revelation 21 in verse 8, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and the list could go on of sinful lifestyles. And all liars, he says, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Again, he's simply using very descriptive language for eternal condemnation and punishment in hell. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. You remember? The rich man was wealthy. He ate well every day. Lazarus was a beggar, sores from all over his body. The dogs would come and lick his sores, and we may get an understanding from that they actually brought him a little bit of comfort by doing that. He would just beg for the crumbs from the rich man's table. Both of them died, and both of them found themselves in eternity. Both in eternity. And it portrays both realities of eternity. Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 22. It was that the beggar died, Lazarus, and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. In other words, comfort, blessing, bliss, kind of, you know, similar experience of what it would be in heaven for all of eternity. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments, plural, in Hades, and that is the Greek word Tartarus, experiencing again like judgment that he would experience for all of eternity in Gehenna, which is properly translated hell, the place of eternal condemnation. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried out, saying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Now imagine the idea that just sending Lazarus to dip his finger in some water and touch his tongue would bring him some relief. And that's how bad it was, what he was experiencing. For I am tormented in this flame, he said. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. It's not because the rich man was rich that he was condemned to eternal torment in hell. It's not because Lazarus was poor and a beggar that he was saved and was looking forward to eternal life in heaven. It's because the rich man was not ready for eternity. Lazarus was. The rich man obviously had not lived faithful and dedicated and obedient to God throughout his life, but Lazarus had been faithful and dedicated and obedient. And so they were experiencing the opposite realities of eternity. At the threshold of eternity, all of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Acts 17 and verse 31, because he that is God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. It'll be righteous judgment. There won't be any, you know, tricks or any, you know, deception. We're going to be judged in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to us, or to all, by raising him from the dead. So that righteous judge, as we enter into eternity, is going to be Jesus our Lord himself, the one who died for us in the cross. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So there's going to be the differentiation between those who will experience eternity in the realm of eternal life and those who will experience eternity in the punishment and judgment forever of eternal condemnation in hell. How we will have lived our lives before our God and before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this physical life. We get ready for all kinds of unforeseen things, all kinds of plans in our head, but are we getting ready for eternity? Which of two possible pronouncements when we cross that threshold from physical reality into the spiritual realm, eternity? Which of the two possible pronouncements will you hear? Every one of us will hear something along one of these lines. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. That's what we want to hear. But are you living the life so that that will be what you will hear? Or the other pronouncement of judgment. You wicked and lazy servant, cast him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Which one? Stop and think. We need to not be careless with our souls. What about eternity? Are you planning for all kinds of things and you think you're being pretty responsible along those lines? What about eternity? Are you planning for, are you getting ready for eternity? And which reality awaits you based upon how you're living your life right now? Are you living sinful lifestyles? Or are you living dedicated, committed, faithful, in faithfulness, serving God, living by his teachings? What awaits you in eternity? The glories of heaven or that other reality that we don't even like to think about, but it's there. We need to understand hell is too hot and eternity is too long to mess around with our time that God has provided for us right now to get ready for eternity. If you need to become a Christian, if you need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, as you sincerely repent of your sins, and that means a change of mind that leads to a change in lifestyle, then we encourage you to take that step, and we're ready to help you this morning. If you need to study about that some more, just ask us, and we will make that happen for you. If you need the prayers of the church, if you want to rededicate your life, or you want to become stronger, then again, just ask us, step forward, and let us know so we can pray with you and for you. And again, if you need to study somewhat further, please ask us. And we will help you do that. What about eternity? Are you ready? For some of us, it's coming sooner than for some others. But it is coming for every one of us. Are you ready? As we stand and sing.